All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxanne Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
So on the line is Dr. Ari Brown, a pediatrician in Austin, Texas, and lead author of the American Academy of Pediatrics study on the effects of television on children. Dr. Brown, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, it's more than just TV these days. I was thinking about getting my kids' teacher an iTunes gift certificate for the holidays, since an iPad is always being used in his kindergarten class. And then I started thinking, is it bad that my son is learning to draw and write on an iPad?
You know, I think these kids are digital natives, and so they grow up with this technology as opposed to us. We're just kind of tourists. But, you know, they learn these things, and there is some value in using these educational tools, because they can be educational tools. But they're not going to be a replacement for all of the things that kids can learn with their hands and in an unstructured way with toys.
So how do we know when enough is enough and when it's too much? Because right now, the American Academy of Pediatrics says kids ages 2 years old and younger should be completely screen-free, and all other kids should get more than 2 hours a day. What do you think?
Well, let me clarify that, because that often gets misquoted in the media. So the policy statement that came out regarding media use in children under the age of two specifically looked at passive media, because that's where we have the data. We do not have data on interactive media. So this is, you know, iPads and apps and computer technology. Really, we're looking at passive media use in kids. And the policy statement discouraged screen time in that age group, because we're realistic and we know that you can't sit down with your child 24 hours a day, and we know you can't keep the screens off 100% of the time. But in that age group, there isn't a value educationally for those screens. And so when we look at the risk and the benefit, because the benefit isn't there and there are some concerns for risk, we discourage media in that age group.
Okay, so that's, we're talking about television, passive.
And so, so any screen that allows passive media, so a visual image, a video program, which could be on a tablet or could be on a standard TV, or a smartphone, for example. And that's that age group. And for kids over age two, we really encourage parents to have a healthy media strategy. Just like creating a healthy diet for your kids and a lifestyle for your kids, you want to have a media strategy that means that you're limiting media time on all screens to 2 hours a day for kids over the age of two.
And that includes interactive media as well.
And that does include interactive media, because what we've seen is that kids who are spending an awful lot of time on screens in various formats have some potential health and developmental effects.
So do we know about the more long-term effects from what you're talking about?
Well, in the older age group, the concerns that we see are an increased incidence of obesity, an increased incidence in aggression, substance abuse. There's some concerns about attention disorders. And really the biggest one, and if you have kids, you may even see this yourself, is the effect on sleep. And so what we know is that kids who have more, even one device, one electronic device in their room, much less two or three, are getting significantly less sleep a night. And it's either because, A, they're using their devices, staying up, and instead of, you know, reading books underneath the covers, they're sitting there texting their friends, or because the actual light on those screens interferes with their circadian rhythm, or because the kids are getting texts and incoming emails overnight that actually make noise and disrupt their sleep. And so kids on average who have at least three devices in their room, which believe it or not, a lot of kids
wow.
do, get at least 45 minutes less sleep per night.
So what do we do, though, if all of these books are going onto e-readers? Is there something we can do to make sure it doesn't affect kids' sleep?
Well, you know, ebooks are great. I mean, they're books, they're just in a different format, and that's completely fine. But you have to set a healthy limit, and that's what's so important for parents to be involved. In fact, I have a friend who's an educator, and he said, you know, we have this generation of helicopter parents who, you know, are so cautious about the things that their kids eat and the, you know, things that they're exposed to, and then they completely throw out technology, and it's like they've left the window or the door open of their helicopter. They have no media strategy to control and set healthy limits. And so what's important is for parents to say, okay, you know, we're going to have these screens or devices in our house and our kids are going to be using them. Let's come up with a healthy plan. So you're restricting access to places you don't want them to go online, for example. So the content is really key. And then how much time they're spending on these devices. And I think it's important for the phones and the other screens to go to bed. And so they have a curfew. And if you can try to keep them out of the kids' room and put them, you know, downstairs in the kitchen in a basket and the phones and everything goes to bed 30 minutes before the kids do, then you're really doing your kids a favor, one, from a sleep standpoint, and also from a potential negative exposure, things you don't want your kids to be seeing.
Yeah, you know, it's so hard to know as a parent what is something that your kid just, you know, this is what life is going to be like in the future. And I certainly don't want to hinder my children from knowing how to do all this technical stuff by, you know, restricting them to just wooden blocks or something. But I did find this one study last year that found nearly one out of every five kids between 2 and 5 knows how to use a smartphone application, but only 9% of them can tie their own shoelaces.
Right.
Does this mean like development of tech skills is growing faster than life skills? I mean, yeah, okay, Velcro is very big in my house.
Right. You know, our future engineers, and boy, we need a lot of them, they learn their technology when they need to learn it. But you know what? There is nothing that's going to replace a set of blocks. So I'm really glad you brought up blocks, because that is a great holiday gift. If you don't have one, a set of blocks in the house, your kid really needs that, because there's nothing that's going to be able to replace that tactile experience of taking one block and putting it on top of the other and figuring out how to balance it. And although, you know, some of these apps and computer games allow kind of a interactive conceptual way of doing that, there's nothing that's going to replace the kid with the blocks in his hands. And so, you know, if you really want your child to succeed and have all of these skills, give him that free, unstructured, unplugged playtime, because that is really important. And I promise they will get the digital skills. They will get them. Like you said, they figure it out before they figure out how to tie their shoes.
Now, okay, so let's talk a bit more about older kids. I was talking to our studio engineer, Wayne Schulmeister, and he was wondering if it was time to let his almost 13-year-old have a Facebook profile. That's the minimum age required by Facebook. But when do you think it's appropriate?
Well, as a mother of a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old, I can tell you the rules were much higher for the first child than the second one. And so my first child, I said, you know, you got to be in high school before you have a Facebook page. And now my daughter, I actually allowed her when she was 13, simply because she had her big brother who she could friend, and he keeps an eye on her. So there really is, some of it has to do with maturity and how much you trust your child, and some of it has to do with policing. And I really encourage you, if your child is on social media, that you friend them and you interact. And so, you know, this is, again, developing a media strategy for parents. And so if you are paying attention, and you don't have to, you know, be online and spy on your child, and it has to be an open spy policy, by the way. You know, it's not fun to snoop in your child's diary, which is what this is the equivalent of. You tell your kids, you know, I'm going to participate, I'm going to pay attention to what you're doing, and I'm going to browse occasionally and make sure that you're not making bad choices. And you can definitely set up the privacy settings on these things. And I encourage you to do that for any type of media, whether it be social media or whether you're actually, you know, indulging and buying an iPad for your kid. You can put restrictions and, you know, go into the settings and restrict things for your kids. And you really need to make sure you are doing that. Do not leave it to your child and throw your hands up in the air and go, oh, he knows more technology than I do. That is leaving the door open on your helicopter.
You know, and that brings me to something else. Is I know a lot of parents here in the city, they love the fact that their kid can have a phone with them because it means that they can reach them all the time, but it also worries them simultaneously. What do you think is a good age for giving a kid their own mobile phone?
Yeah. And, you know, the same thing came up with my kids. And my first child, I said, oh, you know, you don't need a phone until you're in high school. Until one day I left him at baseball practice in the middle of January and it had been canceled. And he ran around the field for an hour freezing. And he said, Mom, would have been nice to have a cell phone. And I thought, yeah, you're right. And so, you know, I think that, you know, high schoolers probably need it, especially if they're driving. Middle schoolers, do they really need it? Well, if they're going to activities, after school activities, and from a security standpoint, you know, they can call and reach you and you can reach them. Yes, there are some benefits. But, you know, does your 8-year-old or your 10-year-old? Probably not, because you're there waiting for them at every moment. So, you know, you have to decide. But again, put those restrictions on there and be where your child is, and know, you know, you have to be upfront with them and tell them, look, you know, if you're going to text your friends, these are things that you would only say to their face, because sometimes things can get very hurtful and very ugly when people start writing things that they wouldn't say to somebody's face. But you've got to be there and make sure that you're watching and policing and making sure they're making good choices.
I guess in terms of the bottom line, you know, I spend all day at my laptop and looking at my phone, and then I go home and the TV's on, and then we read off of my iPad, and then I check my phone again, and it's just screens are everywhere all the time. Is that doing something detrimental to your brain? Is it important to completely unplug for a little while?
You know, are there long-term effects of all of these screens? That I can't tell you. I can look in my crystal ball and maybe guess, but I think what you need to remember, and an important point that you brought up here, is that you are your child's role model. And so if you cannot disconnect, then how can you expect your child to disconnect? They see that you value these screens and what you're doing with them. And maybe that means that you're valuing the screen over actually looking at your child eye to eye and talking to them, which is not a good thing. And so parents really need to take a look at their own media use and set limits and say, okay, when I get home and it's time to sit down for dinner, then all the screens are coming off. And, you know, and you put your screens to bed too, because, you know, it's not so much what you say, but what you do. And if you really value that time interacting with your family, and that, you know, and this, again, is all screens. So the TV should not be on, and that value of sitting down together with your kids, I can't tell you how valuable that is. And that's one of the, another thing that I would point out is that there's a real issue with background TV or secondhand TV, where people just have screens on and they're not even watching, and kids are being exposed to 4 hours a day on average. So, you know, if you're not watching, you don't need to do it. Turn it off and really sit down and spend time with your kids.
But tell me, am I a bad parent if I put on Sesame Street while I make dinner?
Okay, so that falls into the you can't sit down with your child 24/7. We know this, okay?
Thank God.
But, you know, the point at the end of the day, though, is that what is your child doing with their free time? And it's so important to have independent, unstructured play. It really is okay for your child to sit down and figure out what to do with his time to entertain himself. And you know what? He might even learn to problem solve and use his brain and think creatively by having that downtime. And our kids are overscheduled and they're very busy and they get lots of time to be in a structured place. You know, is it okay to watch a show for a child over age 2 every once in a while? You know, yeah, I'm not going to say that that's horrible. But, you know, but just think about how is that time spent and how is that time well spent? And so, you know, your child is probably going to get a lot more out of sitting down and finding something to do with his own time rather than being entertained.
Dr. Ari Brown, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.